All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for all the many blessings that you bless us with each and every day. And Lord, thank you for letting us be able to come here tonight and be with each other and have fellowship with one another, but more importantly, learn more about your word and help us be better Christians and help us be able to build on our faith and be able to take what we learned tonight and apply it to our lives and help be able to spread, your light into the world in such a dark world. And be with Mark tonight as he brings us the message and help us be good listeners and be able to apply it to our lives and be able to, be those lights, be those shining examples in the world. And again, bring us back at the next point in time and just be with us in your son's name. Amen.
Amen. First rule of life is technology makes your life easier.
Remember what he did.
No, I did it.
Oh,
yeah.
Remember what you did.
Yeah. He said, I'm at a loss, and then so I just unplugged everything, plugged it back in, and it worked. Wouldn't it be nice if life was that way? You just turn it off and turn it back on, and it resets? Life doesn't work that way, does it? How are you guys doing? We've got one good, and everybody else is asleep. I got an excellent over there. I'm glad to see you guys back. Missed you all last week, and I'm going to be gone for 2 more weeks. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to be in Guyana in South America doing some mission work, teaching at Guyana Christian University, and getting prepared for a medical clinic that we're doing in April. If you ever had any interest, come talk to me. April the 2nd through the 10th are the dates. It would be a weekend, a week, and a weekend. But I don't know when your spring break is and stuff like that, so it may not work out for you. But if it's something that would work for you, let me know. I'd be happy to talk to you about getting involved in that work. The book of Ephesians is a challenging book. It's a book that speaks to us in so many different ways, but it is always relevant in the church regardless of what age it is. You know, only God could write a book like that. You know, we couldn't write something like that, but God did. You know, every other document that you read is dated to its time, but the Bible is current always. Last week in chapter 4, you guys were talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Who's Paul writing to? Somebody tell me. The church at Ephesus. Who makes up the church in Ephesus? Christians or non-Christians? Christians. What two backgrounds did they come from? Jewish and Gentile. Verse 25. Stop lying to each other. Verse 26. Stop sinning in your anger. 27. Stop letting corrupt speech come out of your mouth. He's writing to Christians. Is that current today? It is. Now, you may not personally have somebody in GFC or some other circle in your Christian life where you have that issue, but within the church at large, it's common. It is. You know why? Let me tell you a secret. Y'all don't listen. It's because it's made up of people. That's why. Because people disappoint and people fail all the time. And so God comes along and he inspires a horrible man, educated way beyond anybody in his day, with very few exceptions, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, a Pharisee, zealous after the law, persecuting Christians, assenting to their death, taking their property, and he comes to him and he says, you're going to be my ambassador to the Gentiles. You want to mess with a Jew's mind? Tell them that they're going to have to go deal with Gentiles. And that's what God did to Paul. And Paul was the greatest missionary the church has ever known. God trusted him with half of our New Testaments in penning. In the letters that he wrote and the documents that he was a part of. I mean, it's incredible. And so we got a church in Ephesus that is struggling with their relationships. Their community was fractured. The Gentiles didn't think they belonged. The Jews thought they were better than the Gentiles. And he comes and he says, Guys, you're one body. Christ made you one. He tore down that middle wall separating, and by his blood, he reconciled all of you to God in one body. You're no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're fellow citizens and members of the household of God. You're a holy temple being built up into a dwelling place of God and the Spirit. That's what you're supposed to be. So stop lying to each other. Stop sinning in your anger. Stop letting corrupt speech come out of your mouth. Put aside all malice. Put aside all of those things. In the beginning of chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. The therefore at the beginning of the chapter causes you to ask what? What is it there for? It's there because of everything he said so far from Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Four chapters leading up to that point. Tonight we're going to cover through verse 21. And I've got some readers that are going to help me out. But I want to show you how this chapter breaks down. So we're going to break it down into two parts, okay? The first thing we got to remember in chapter 4, verse 1, he's beseeching them, he's pleading with them, he's begging them to live worthy of the calling with which they were called. Chapter 5 is going to show them how to live that way. Let's read chapter 4, 32 through 5, 2. Chapter 5, 8 through 10.
Walk as children. Okay. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord.
5, 15a, 16a, 17b, 18b through 21. This is the challenging part.
Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish. 18a, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery.
Nope, you're getting ahead of me.
This one?
Yeah, it's over here. Yeah, you're reading the other half of those verses. That's okay. I like somebody eager to read God's word. That's awesome.
Okay.
Let's start over here.
Okay. Be very careful then how you live. 16a, making the most of every opportunity, but understand what the Lord's will is. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Okay, all those are very positive statements. And that's where we're going to spend the most of our time focusing tonight, in moving things forward. But in the middle of that, you've got this, 5:3 through 6. Chapter 5, 3 through 6.
But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient.
Does that sound a little different from what we just read in other verses? And it's right there in the middle of it. He's kind of taking us back to the last part of chapter 4. And he's reminding them of those things, and he's filling in some of the blanks, like, well, he didn't say anything about this. So I must be in the clear. No, you're not. I want you to pay attention to one phrase in what was just read by Caroline. An unclean person, fornicator, unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater. Why are the people that are participating in these sins idolaters? You have a guess? Because the things that involve those sins become your God, become your idol, and they push God out of your life. That's why he says, none of these people have any inheritance in the kingdom. He's writing to Christians now and telling them what not to do, not because they weren't doing it, but because they were. We all have got our shortcomings. And I'm standing taller than everybody, so I'm the shortest of us all, right? I've got all kinds of shortcomings. We all do. But it's what we do about those things, it's who we entrust those shortcomings with, and what we're working towards in our lives that matters. Christ never came and said, you are to be sinlessly perfect. Would you make it? Nope. You know what we're told to do? Be faithful. Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Not sinlessly perfect unto death. Because nobody would qualify. And that's not an excuse for sin. But it is a wonderful application of the grace of God who tolerates us in our weakened state to move us to where we need to be. 5:11 through 13. And finally, here we go. Captain America gets to read now.
Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish. 18a, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery.
Okay. Now, when you look at that second section of scripture that we just read from, that those are the scandal sheets of scripture. These are the things you want to stay away from. How do we stay away from those things? That's what we want to pay attention to. The first thing he's going to tell us to do is walk in love. That's imitating God. The second thing is walk as children of light. And the third thing is to walk circumspectly. That is, walk in wisdom. And that's where we want to focus tonight, on those three things. You with me? Let's do it. Imitating God or walking in love, that first section, 1 through 7, we're going to focus on the first two verses. Imitate God as disobedient children. Is that what it says? What kind of children? Dear, beloved, loved children. By whom? Loved by whom? Paul? No. I mean, he loved them. But loved by who? By God. Right? Beloved children of God, imitate your Father who is in heaven. First time I ever took David and his brother Kevin out in snow. Kevin, I think, was kindergarten and he was pre-K. Little guys, right? And we had about a 10-inch snow in North Carolina. So the snow's hitting them about mid-thigh, right? And so I said, you guys just follow me. And what are they doing? They're walking in the places where I packed down the snow so they could get to where we were going. What were they doing? They were imitating me so they could make it through what we were doing. Kids do that all the time with their parents. And they do it literally sometimes like that, and other times figuratively. They're following after their parents. And as dear children, who is the parent that we look to and that we imitate? It's supposed to be God. Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love. These are the people that aren't supposed to be lying to each other, being angry, letting coarse speech come out of their mouth. All of these things that he's talking about here, they're supposed to be walking in love. Now, when you see the word walk in the New Testament in particular, unless it's specifically talking about putting left in front of the right, in front of left, in front of right, it's talking about your manner of life. That's what your walk is. It's your manner of life. How you routinely and habitually go through your life. And how, what is supposed to be represented when we're imitating God? The manner of our life is love. It's love. Just as, this is where it gets hard. Just as, what's that? It's a simile. What's that? As Christ loved you. I can't do that. Can you? I can try, but I can't. That's an impossible standard. But let me tell you about impossible standards. We talked about it several weeks ago. If an impossible standard is set and you're trying to reach an impossible standard, you're going to do so much better than you'd ever do if you set a lower standard. I talked about basketball. And I was a good basketball player a while back. I couldn't stay on the court with Michael Jordan or LeBron or anybody like that, ever. Well, I could stay on the court, but I'd be spinning around, falling on the ground, right? But I was a decent basketball player. If you're trying to imitate me, you might be a decent basketball player. If you tried to imitate Michael Jordan, however, you'd be a much better basketball player than if you were following my example. Walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a sacrifice and a sweet-smelling aroma to God. The last verse of the previous chapter is tied directly in. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, how? When they come groveling back to us. When they're begging us for forgiveness. Is that how we forgive? Just as God in Christ forgave you. How did God in Christ forgive you? Before you were ever born and had the opportunity for the first sin, Christ died and paid for those sins. And a deposit was made. And through the blood of Christ, you come and you make the withdrawal for the forgiveness of those sins when you obey the gospel. It's fascinating. And you know, when we do that to one another, that means when Donnie does something to me, before he ever has a chance to come ask for forgiveness, I've already set the grounds for that. And when he walks up, it's already done. It's not like, well, you need to ask nicer than that. You know, here, kiss the back of my hand, right? I mean, we make people do that all the time, and it's wrong, because that's not how God forgave us. If God begrudged us forgiveness, none of us could ever be forgiven. If God forgave like us, this would be a sad, sad world, and eternity would be empty. But we, rather, are to imitate God and forgive like him. As Christ loved us and gave himself, we likewise must sacrifice ourselves, our preferences, our standards in our relationships in order to maintain a proper identity with one another. What about our desires? You know, some desires are healthy and some are not. Is it important to let God's word govern our desires? Should be. I mean, look at all the don't have anything to do with this. Stay away from this. Whatever you do, look out for this. I mean, that's what Paul's saying through chapter 5. Avoid these things. Why? Because those things will become habits in our lives, and those habits will become our gods, and those gods will drive us away from God, the true God. It takes us right back to where we were, where he pulled us out of to begin with. And the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is not going to warn us away from things that there's no possibility that we could get involved in again. That would be dumb. Donnie, I know you've got a trip planned to New York City. Whatever you do, don't fall off the World Trade Center. Guess what? That's an impossibility because it's not there anymore. So if the Holy Spirit, through Paul, is warning us of these things, it's a possibility. It's something we got to stay away from. We got to protect ourselves and help protect our brothers and sisters. That's not supposed to be there. Here we go. Walking as children of light. Walking as children of light. Look down in verse 8. For you were once darkness. That's where God snatched us out of by the grace, by his grace and by the blood of Christ. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Our manner of living should be as children of light. Who has Ephesians 5, 25 through 27? Let's read that.
Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish.
You guys are going to talk about this next week. There's something really important down at the bottom of this, where it says 32, this is a great mystery. The word mystery, mysterion, in the Greek language doesn't mean something that is hidden. It means something once hidden, now being revealed, now being opened up. So the word mystery in our vernacular means something that we don't know and we've got to solve, right? But in the Bible, it refers to something that once hidden, now being revealed. This is once hidden, now being revealed, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. This section's not about marriage. It's about Jesus' relationship with his church. And then our marriages are supposed to reflect that relationship, not the other way around. He's talking about from wives submitting to their husbands in the Lord, husbands being the head of the wife, husbands giving themselves. All of this submitting to one another, you see, all the way through is talking about Christ and his church. And then we, as husbands and wives, have to make that our standard for how we carry out our relationships with one another. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. How much did he love the church? He shed his precious blood to purchase her so that he might sanctify, set apart for holy service, cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, present to himself what kind of church? A glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. The expectation here for walking as children of life is having a holy existence in the presence of God. That's the expectation. We're to be holy. That's what it means to walk as children of light. Because what does light do? As you read down a little bit further, it exposes, it reveals darkness. It shows it for what it is. And when we're living holy lives, there are going to be people that don't want to be around us because their deeds are going to be exposed. And sometimes you have to let those people go in your life. You can try to reach them, but some people, they just don't want to be reached. But other people, when those things are exposed and they see it for what it is, they're going to want to get clean. Change. And I mean, it's not like we're out there thumping our Bible on the street corner, you know, and repent, you're all going to hell, you know, like you see certain street preachers do sometimes. We're living as the glorious bride of Christ, cleansed by him, set apart by him. This holy living is what it means to be children of light. But there's a little snippet there in verse 10. And we're going to come back to it a little bit later as well. But in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Do you know that it's not something hidden? God didn't say, oh, I'm going to hold this back from them. You know, we might do that. You and I might do that in our relationships. God doesn't do that. God tells us everything we need to know. Everything. Now, sometimes you got to work for it in the scripture to find it, but I'm telling you, it's there. You want to live a life pleasing to God? This is all you need, because he tells you what to do. It's beautiful. God did not leave us orphans out groping around in the dark trying to figure out what he wants from us. He told us exactly what he wants from us. And lastly, we're to walk in wisdom. Dropping down to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means in all wisdom. Applying your brain. You see, Christianity is a religion that is better known than felt. You know why that is? Your heart ever deceive you? Any sports fans out there? You ever get down to the last second? How about Alabama fans the other night? How do you think those last 2 seconds felt to them? They were excited. They came back. They were way down. They got into that ball game, and everything's good, and all of a sudden, Texas A&M drives down 2 seconds later, and they kick it through. They went from up here to down here just like that. If you got a call, your house is on fire. Your husband, your wife, your children, your animals, they're stuck in the house and they've all been killed. And you drive as fast as you can to get over there. What are you thinking on the way? It's like, that's the most horrible thing ever. My whole life is over with in this moment. And you pull up and not only is your house not burned down, but your children and your family are out in the yard. You see, your feelings deceived you because you had bad information. When you had true knowledge, your feelings changed. You were relieved. There's your family. There are your dogs, your cats, whoever. They're okay. You see, in Christianity, it's better to know than to feel. Because when you know, then you'll have the right feels. You understand? Your feelings, your emotions will be governed by true knowledge from God. Find out what's acceptable to the Lord. How do we do that? Flip a coin? Probably not. Maybe stick our nose in this a little while. It's one way to do it. Foolish or wise? Those are only two choices. Man, can I have something kind of in the middle? I mean, wouldn't that be nice? You know, you ever go to Cold Stone Creamery, right? And you go, and they're like, okay, I want the sweet cream. What do you want in it? Well, I'd like to have Butterfinger, but I'd like to have the Heath. Can I have both? Yeah, you can. If you're willing to pay for it, you can have everything they've got on there, you know, mixed in there with it, right? God doesn't give us a smorgasbord. He says it's this or this. Choose wisely. Walk circumspectly, not as wise. Making proper use of your time. Anybody have trouble budgeting your time? All right, half of you are honest. I mean, because sometimes there's just things you want to do, right? But there's things you got to do, right? Anybody ever wait till the night before an exam to study for it? My hand went up first. You know, that's not a way to be successful in the long term, is it? It's exhausting, right? But you got to make better use of your time. What about spiritually? Okay, you got a final exam that's coming. It's called judgment. When are you going to study for it? When are you going? Do you know? Do you know when you're going to go into eternity? Tonight? Maybe. Tomorrow? Next week? Next month? 50 years from now? Who knows? You don't know, right? You don't know. Had a young man in North Carolina, 14 years old, had been evangelized by kids in our youth group, came on Wednesday night and brought a friend with him on Wednesday night. We had warned them, don't go down to the convenience store. We didn't have a sidewalk on our side of the street. So on the other side of the street, they had widened the street and put the curb. You've ever been in a town that's kind of older and the curbing is right up to the telephone poles, you know, and you got to walk around the telephone poles? Well, Wednesday night, they decided to go down to the convenience store. He and his bud stepped around that telephone pole, and Lewis stepped right out in front of a pickup truck. He was dead before he hit the pavement. 14. 14 years old. He brought a friend to church, and it was the night before Thanksgiving. You don't know, okay? You don't know when somebody's going to run a light. You don't know when something's going to happen. So you better be working on your final exam right now. You understand? Make the most of your time. Prepare for eternity day by day, because eventually you're going to sit for that exam. And understand what the Lord's will is. Look down. You know, we just talked about it in verse 10. Come on down here in verse 17. But understand, don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Would the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, tell us to understand what God's will is if we couldn't understand it? We can understand it. He gave us the capacity to understand. He put his word into languages that we know and words that have meaning. It's beautiful. God loved us that much. But we've got to make the most of our time. Now there's this final little section right here where he says, be filled with the Spirit in verse 18. It's going to be followed by four commands. They're participles. Participle is an ing verb, right? Four commands that follow, be filled with the Spirit, that help you to understand how to be filled with the Spirit. It's not some sort of crazy emotional experience. Once again, it's about knowledge. First thing he says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, when we sing that we're speaking to one another, we're praising God, but we're speaking to each other. When you go over to the sister verse, to this verse in Colossians 3:16, it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. When we sing, we're teaching, we're admonishing, and we're speaking to one another in addition to praising God. So no matter how good you sing or how bad you sing, how loud or how soft, we're speaking to each other in those words. Those words have meaning, and they need to have a powerful meaning. They need to speak directly down into our soul and into our heart. You want to be filled with the Spirit? The first thing you need to do is speak to each other in psalms, hymns, spiritual song. The second thing is you need to be singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you're speaking to one another in those songs, and your brain's on whatever you're doing in biology tomorrow, you're not making melody in your heart to the Lord. You got to have your thoughts on the right things. You know, there's some songs, and I'm not trying to make fun or anything like that, but it's just funny sometimes the way that things happen. But there's a song in our hymnals, Oh Happy Day. You ever heard that song? Okay. People like to sing it after baptism. There are times when words and music don't go together. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. Doesn't sound very happy, does it? Right? And then there's He Bore It All. You guys know that song? All right. Fun song to sing. The words and music don't go together. Up Calvary's hill in shame, the blessed Savior trod. I don't think that's what was on Jesus' mind when he's going up that hill, right? So we've got our words and our music have got to come together where they make sense. Okay? They've got to make sense. You want to talk about the crucifixion of Christ? Oh, sacred head. Song that's like 400 years old. Wow. Powerful. Look at the words and listen to the music to that song. You know that song, O Sacred Head? Any of you? We'll have to have a class on some songs sometime. It's amazing. There's some new songs, some old songs that are great and powerful songs. There's some new songs and some old songs that are just... We got to sing and make melody in our heart while we're speaking to one another. Our minds have to be fixed on what those words are teaching while we're teaching one another. That's being filled with the Spirit. Well, I thought I hit the button, but I guess I didn't. There it is. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The third command, giving thanks always. Is Todd still in here or did he go next door? He was over here earlier. Todd and I both lost our dads the same week this year. About 2 weeks later, he loses his mom. Not fun times. Not times that you think you can be thankful. But I can tell you right now that I'm very thankful. The Friday before my dad dies on Tuesday, I was supposed to go on a motorcycle ride with Greg Becker and his son. He's going to show me around on my bike, and we're going to go out and have a good time. And Thursday, my brother says, you know, you need to come. Dad's not doing well. So I called him up, and I said, hey, I'm going to have to take a rain check on the bike. I got to go see my dad. 2 hours up to Tallahassee, and I sat with my dad for about 4 or 5 hours. We had the best conversation. Some of the things we talked about a million times. But we talked about them like it was the first time we talked about them. And some of the things were new that we talked about. I had no idea it was going to be the last time I talked to my dad, where he could converse back with me. Getting ready to walk out the door, and I said, Dad, I'll be back soon. I love you. And he says, I love you too, son, but don't feel like you got to come back all the time. I know you got things to do. You're trying to get settled in your place. All of this. I said, that's okay, Dad. I love you, Dad. He goes, I love you too, son. Last words ever came out of his mouth. I moved cross country so I could be close to my dad and help my brother with my dad. I left a church that I loved and I still love. I felt like I could do good work here. That God would bless us here. And I only got 2.5 months with my dad. But if I had been out there, I'd have never had those 2.5 months. You understand what I'm saying? And I wouldn't have been able to be there Tuesday holding my dad's hand when he took his last breath. I'm thankful for that. God blessed me with that. When I was invited to come here and to be a part of this, it opened the door for me to have that blessing. You can find something to be thankful for in any situation. Giving thanks always is not an empty command. Look for it. You can find it. I promise you, you can find it. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's the transition verse here. It finishes off this idea of being filled with the Spirit, and it also kicks off the next section of the scripture. The four commands, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always, and submitting to one another in the fear of God. That right there is how you're filled with the Spirit. This is an amazing section of scripture. We didn't even talk about all those bad things. We just touched on those things. But the walking in love, walking as children of light, and walking circumspectly, that is walking wisely, walking in wisdom. That's what you need to focus on in your Christian life. Our reflection for tonight. What does Paul say that means to be an imitator of God? How does that work? Secondly, what are the three walks presented by Paul? What is meant by the word walk? And how does our walk put us in contrast with the world? Lastly, Paul commands that we be filled with the Spirit. What four commands are given in chapter 5, 19 through 21 that characterize the Spirit-filled life? How do these contribute to the strengthening of the body of Christ? That's our reflection for this week. Would you guys pray with me? God, we thank you so much for your love for us, and we're so grateful that you loved us enough to tell us how to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to you, that you haven't hidden your will from us, but you make it understandable. Father, convict us that we may spend time with you through your word and through prayer, that we may become those that holy church, that glorious church that Jesus died to present to himself. Help us to walk in your love. Help us to walk as children of light. And help us not to be foolish, but to walk in wisdom. Thank you, Father, for granting us this great opportunity. It's through Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all very much. And
thank
I look
you.
Forward to seeing you guys in a couple of weeks.
Let's have a hand for Mark's preparation. Thank you, Mark. Excellent, excellent.